The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
A 6-0 homestand for the Bucks. A perfect 6-0, something they last did just over a year ago in games 2-7 to open up the season last year. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing win of this six-game stand, but it's still a win, and the Bucks are now 21-7 on the season, just a half game back of the Boston Celtics. Through all the external turmoil and the nitpicking, and I've used that word last time too, it's not just nitpicking. There are still some things to address and clean up for the Bucks, but through that all, and with the fact that this team is still growing, still developing that chemistry, and as we've continued to caution, it's going to be a work in progress. We heard that from Pat Connaughton. We heard that from Campaign after the Spurs game. Despite all of that, this team's still just a half game back of the Celtics for the best record in the East as they continue to figure things out. The offense has largely moved into the elite category. The defense is getting better, and it's taking steps forward in some of these moments, like fourth quarter and close games. It's been a much different team defensively in the second half of games, and that stood out not only during this homestand, but during large parts of this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as we'll take your thoughts on this homestand, on the win tonight. And also, we'll preview that game, the first of those games, I should say. The Bucks got two games in New York against the Knicks. And if you like early basketball, boy, do we have a schedule for you. An 11:30 tip on Saturday morning, and then Christmas Day, an 11 a.m. tip between the Bucks and the Knicks. So you got a series in New York with a Knicks team that, similar to kind of what we talked about to a much lesser extent in this game against the Magic, but especially in those games against the Indiana Pacers, that game, I should say, on this homestand against the Indiana Pacers. It was a Bucks team that was looking to extract some revenge and looking to bounce back after their performance in the previous two games against the Pacers. You can expect the same from the Knicks in those two games. They have lost twice to the Bucks. They were both, one of those, I should say, was a highly contested game that went down to the stretch. The other ended up being a blowout in the in-season tournament. But it's still a Knicks team that has been one of the best teams in the East, currently tied with the Magic for the fourth best record, a very good offense. Jalen Brunson, we saw, put up a big game in the group play stage against the Bucks on November 3rd in that win against the Knicks. And it's an offense that has been much better under Tom Thibodeau, and you know what to expect defensively from a Tibbs team. So those should be two very, very interesting games for the Bucks Saturday and again on Christmas Day for yet another year, 6 years in a row for the Bucks being featured on Christmas Day. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to your calls, also get into some of the numbers, not only since November 3rd, but during this six-game homestand, some of the numbers that have jumped off the page for the Bucks. We will do that after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks outlast the Magic here at Fiserv Forum. They're now 21-7 on the season and have the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. The offense has continued to get better. This is a good defensive team that they went up against tonight, so it may not have been quite as crisp. The point production, we've talked about, the Bucks have basically been living at 130-plus points per game of late. It's a Magic team that's tough to score against, and we saw a fast start when the Bucks scored 12 of the first 14 points in this game. They were doing that in transition, and off of Magic misses, a couple of turnovers that they forced as well. As the game wore on, you saw just how difficult this Magic defense can be in the half court. They have a lot of size, no surprise on a John Hammond constructed team, but there's a lot of length on that Magic team, and you got to attack them early. We heard Adrian Griffin say that after the game as well, that you can't give their defense a chance to reset. That's where it gets especially difficult against that group and the length that they feature. And I think that's what you notice the most when the Bucks ran through those areas of the game where the offense started to become a bit of a slog at times. So all told, it may not have been pretty, but a win is a win, and it's a perfect 6-0 homestand. But I think most importantly, what comes from this is, you know, not only six straight wins here during this stretch, 15 straight at home for this Bucks team, but the duration of this past essentially month. You think back to the Bucks played in Chicago against the Bulls at the end of November. You were basically home for that when you think about taking a bus down to Chicago just after Thanksgiving. You basically spent the end of the month at home, taking a bus down to Chicago to play the Bulls. So it was November 30th. You came back home after that game in Miami against the Heat, arriving back in Milwaukee that night of the 28th, November 29th, early in the morning. And you would stay home, other than that bus trip to Chicago, all the way until that Thursday game. Thursday, December 7th, when you went to Las Vegas to take on the Pacers in the semifinals of the in-season tournament. You came back Friday, and you remained home from that day forward, December 8th, all the way until today. So there was two trips where you left Milwaukee. Both of them were just over a day, and one of those was a bus trip to Chicago. So by and large, for about a month now, this team has been at home. And we've heard from Cam Payne, we've heard from Pat Connaughton, we've heard from Adrian Griffin as well, how important that's been for this group. It's given them a chance to not only work on things, but as Pat Connaughton told us earlier tonight, we can practice, we can go through things on the court together, go through film study, obviously, and you know a lot of times you'll hear practice. It's not what you think. At this level, you just don't get that opportunity to have the practice that you envision, a 5-on-5 full-court practice. That doesn't happen all that frequently once you get into the season. But a schedule quirk like this, where you have a 6-game homestand, you had a bus trip to Chicago at the end of November. Prior to that, you had 2 games at home. So this was nearly a 8-game homestand. And the other caveat here is, had the Bucks lost to the Knicks in that game on December 5th, and had the Indiana Pacers lost to the Boston Celtics, instead of going to Vegas, you would have stayed at home in Milwaukee and played the Pacers Friday night. So then it would have been a 9-game homestand with 9 consecutive games here in Milwaukee. But being at home this much has allowed the team not only to sleep in their own beds, to go through things like practice and work on some of these things. And I think that's really starting to show on the court, and especially with the chemistry that continues to develop for this group. Before the game, we talked about Bobby Portis specifically and just how good he has been on this homestand for the Bucks. Scoring-wise, the numbers, you know, it wasn't what we've seen from Bobby in the previous 5 games tonight, but you did get some of those energy plays, a couple of offensive rebounds that proved to be big in this one for the Bucks, coming from Bobby Portis. And he and Pat Connaughton combined for 16 rebounds in this game. But as we examine this 6-game homestand, Giannis finishes the homestand averaging 32 points, 12.5 rebounds, and just under 7 assists per game. He had 5 double-doubles, 1 triple-double. He shot 56% from the field, which, when you consider each of the last 3 games, he shot below 50%, really stands out. Damian Lillard, though, averaged just under 29 points per game, shot 45% from the field, and 44% on his threes. Chris Middleton picked up his scoring, Brooke Lopez as well. This was really a collective effort during this 6-game homestand for this Bucks team. And I keep pointing back to defense and some of the things that we've seen from this team as a group defensively. over the course of this homestand, but also in the second half of games. I do want to take a look at the Bucks' second half defense and, of course, the big picture, too. How this team has rated defensively for the season as a whole, and as we continue to examine those games played since November 3rd, they're moving closer and closer towards the right direction. We'll share those numbers after this. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they take down the Magic, wrap up a six-game homestand, a perfect 6-0, and now hit the road for their next four games where they will basically spend a week in New York. Two games against the Knicks and one against the Brooklyn Nets. We'll preview all of that and get to those numbers after this on Bucks Talk. 118-114, the final. The Bucks take down the Knicks tonight and have won 15 straight games at home. They go 6-0 on the homestand as well. Now it's off to New York for a pair of games against the Knicks and then the Brooklyn Nets to wrap up the 2023 calendar year. I mentioned some of the things we've seen from this defense and some of the numbers that really stand out for this Bucks group. So including tonight's game, the Bucks currently have the 20th rated defense in the league. But again, that's looking at all games played. And I don't think, we talked about this in greater detail on the show Tuesday night, I don't think it's cherry picking to look at those games played since November 3rd, because that was just after four games. At this point, the team has played 28 games. You're talking about 24 out of 28 games that we're looking at, and all of those have been played consecutively. But season as a whole, this Bucks team is currently 20th in defensive rating. I will add the caveat of there's not a whole lot of separation between teams 20 through 15. They are separated by less than 1 point per 100 possessions. In other words, you're one or two straight good games away from being up to 15th or possibly even higher than that for the season as a whole defensive rating for this Bucks team. They still have the third best offense in the league at a 120.2 offensive rating. But if we just look at the second half of games, before we get to those games played since November 3rd, I point to the second half because we've heard Adrian Griffin talk about the fourth quarter quite a bit this season. The fourth quarter has to be your best quarter. The last 5 minutes of that quarter are especially critical. But a number of times we've heard Adrian Griffin talk about adjustments that were being made at halftime, coverages that were being changed. And again tonight, it may not have been a lockdown, stellar defensive effort by the group, but they did make enough plays down the stretch. You're aided by a Magic team that struggles to shoot the basketball and frankly struggles to score. That was a big part of this. But their defense continues to take steps forward as the game progresses and make some of those plays. And if we look at all games played, only looking at the second half of games, the Bucks still have the third best offense, where it's about 1 point per 100 possessions better than the overall offensive rating. Their defense is 14th best in the league in second halves of games. And again, the separation between 15, which is the Sacramento Kings, and 11, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second half, less than 1 point per 100 possessions. Those numbers seem to back up the eye test, that this team has started to make plays. They do some things in terms of making adjustments, switching up some of those coverages. We saw more zone for a couple of flashes again tonight. That as the game progresses, this defense seems to get better. And those numbers back that up. But one other group of stats, to throw out there is that aforementioned November 3rd date. That, ironically, was a game against the New York Knicks. In that game, after four games played, the defense was an absolute disaster. And that's when the Bucks made the shift to, okay, let's go back to utilizing Brook Lopez in a drop. Let's play him closer to the basket. He has become dominant once again since then. More on Brook Lopez a little bit later in the show. But in those games, since November 3rd, the Bucks are 19-5. That is the most wins in the league. One more win than the Minnesota Timberwolves, two more wins than the Boston Celtics, three more wins than one of the bigger stories so far in the Eastern Conference in the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks, 19-5 in those games played. Still have the third-best offense at a 121.5 offensive rating, just behind the second-ranked Philadelphia 76ers. And their defense is more than 1 point per 100 possessions better at a 114.5. That rating is, excuse me, is 13th. 13th best defense in those games played since November 3rd. And not only that, the separation between 14 and 9 is 6/10 of a point per 100 possessions. So not only are the Bucks in the top half of the league since November 3rd, they are moving closer to the top 10 since November 3rd. And I'm going to say it again. This is not cherry picking. This is a fundamental change that was made after four games and has carried through in the ensuing 24 games played. This isn't looking at a small sample and looking at, well, they've only played these teams. This is looking at every single game played since then. Some of those opponents on the Bucks' schedule since this date that we are pointing to. Obviously, the New York Knicks. You've had two of those games against the Knicks. The Boston Celtics. Three games against the Indiana Pacers. The Dallas Mavericks. A couple of games against the Bulls, who have been a thorn in the Bucks' side. The Miami Heat have been on there. It maybe hasn't been the most difficult schedule in the league, but it's not as though the Bucks have only played bottom feeders during this stretch. So there is a lot more encouragement that we've seen defensively than reasons to say this team is never going to figure it out, and this is one of the worst defenses in the league. That's the thing to keep in mind and take away from everything you'll hear tonight. Is in those games played since November 3rd, this Bucks defense is the 13th best in the league, and they are within shouting distance of moving into the top 10. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll preview this trip to New York. Two games against the Knicks, one game against the Brooklyn Nets. We'll take a look at that road trip and take a look at some of these numbers from Brook Lopez. We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. Down the Magic tonight, 118-114. They now head to New York basically for a week. They will leave for New York tomorrow. Then they have two games against the Knicks. Saturday morning, an 11:30 tip is the first of those two games. Then Christmas Day, an 11 o'clock tip. And then 2 days later, December 27th, 6 days from today, the Bucks stay in New York and take on the Brooklyn Nets. From there, they head to Cleveland, where they take on the Cavaliers 1 week from tomorrow. That brings a close to the 2023 calendar year of Milwaukee Bucks basketball. And this is a Knicks team, again, that has been playing very well. Bucks have beaten them twice, but the story for the Knicks has been their offense. And specifically, how Jalen Brunson, we saw this a year ago, but how Jalen Brunson has really transformed that team. The Knicks, if we go back to that same date, and it's only fair to judge them on that as we're doing the Bucks, we go back to that same date of November 3rd, the Knicks have the fourth best offense in the league. 1 point per 100 possessions behind the Bucks. They have a 120.5 offensive rating to a 121.5 offensive rating for the Bucks. The story, though, is Tom Thibodeau, where you come to expect a defense, a gritty team, a grinded-out team, a very good top-tier defense. That has not been the case for the Knicks so far. In those games played since November 3rd, they have a 116.4 defensive rating. That is worse than the Bucks. That is currently 19th in the NBA. Now, if we just look at the overall season numbers here, The Knicks have the 10th best offense at 117.4, and they have a defensive rating of 113.7, which is 13th best. Their first four games were where they really jumped off the charts, were the first handful of games for the Knicks leading up to that November 3rd schedule. Since then, they've taken a bit of a step backward, especially on the defensive end, while the Bucks have taken a step forward. But Bucks are quietly 7th best in net rating. And that number earlier in the season was basically flat. It was in the low numbers. Maybe it was a 1.5, twos. It was in the threes. It wasn't what you would associate with the Bucks of the last handful of years. That number has started to move upward. It's still a 5.1, maybe not ideal. But again, that's another area where you are within shouting distance of being in the top five. These are the things we mean when we say it's gonna be a process. It is going to take time. They are slowly but surely moving in the right direction. It's not going to be an overnight change. The Bucks are not going to go from the 20th rated defense up to 10. But to me, the big takeaway is those numbers since November 3rd and how drastic those are, where this team remains elite offensively. And defensively, they're a little better than league average, and they're close to being top 10. I'm going to keep going back to that 12-13 range. If you can finish there defensively, that should be good enough. That means your defense is keeping you in games, your offense is elite, and your offense is winning those games that your defense has kept you in. That's the way this team has played by and large since November 3rd. And it tells a different story when you just go to NBA.com, and I'm going to go and look at the advanced numbers. This tells me the Bucks are 20th defensively. There's a little more nuance to that. And again, I'm going to keep preaching this. It's not cherry picking for those reasons, for the fact that it's four games out of a 28-game schedule that you're excluding. It all came in succession, and there was a big fundamental change that was made. This is a team that's starting to move in the right direction. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Just a little bit of time left to hear from you. We'll take one more break. When we come back, I do want to get into the reason behind that defensive change. Brook Lopez, some of the numbers that he has already posted this season and what jumps off the page. We'll dive into it after this on Bucks Talk. Ain't no way they can stop me now. Bucks knock off the Magic tonight, 118-114. They go 6-0 on the homestand and now head to New York for the next week. I do want to take a look at some of these Brook Lopez numbers, but let's head out to the phone lines and sneak in one call here before we sign off. Will I am in attendance again tonight. Will, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Justin and the gang, how we doing? Hey, man, had to be in attendance for this 6-0 potentialer, which we got the win, you know, 6-0 at home. Beautiful. Like you've said earlier, I think you've spoke on this again this evening, but once we put Brook Lopez back in that drop, you know, don't want to repeat it over and over again, this game, Bucks games, Bucks ball, Bucks action, and to go, what is it, 15-3 since the 5-4 start speaks volumes. And, Justin, my question for you this evening is, I understand that, you know, it's really hard to win in the NBA, and every team comes to bring it, but I feel like this year, especially this year, we have the biggest target on our back due to teams seem to bring intensity that I haven't seen in a long time, almost like every game is a playoff game. And I'm really happy to see the Bucks bounce back, but I just don't like the we score and then we give them 2 to 3 seconds to get a layup. I know we can score in high volumes and high dosage, but I just really wish we'd, you know, kind of toughen up just a little bit for more than 3 seconds, you know?
Yeah, look, transition has been transition defense and really transition offense too. It hasn't been quite as crisp. It's been an issue for the Bucks, and I think you saw it quite a bit tonight on the defensive end. That's how the Magic were able to stay in this, because when you looked at some of their shooting percentages in that first half, boy, if if Orlando would have hit two or three of those missed three-pointers in the first half, this is a much different game. So you let them stay in this and hang around because of things like that, because of the transition opportunities that you gave up, and because of how the Bucks played offensively at times in this game. It's a Magic team that we mentioned it on the radio broadcast. You got to be decisive against their defense. And Adrian Griffin said this after the game, too. Like, you can't give them a chance to recover, because when they do, they have that length and size that they'll use to their advantage, and it really bogs down your half-court offense. And when the Bucks ran into problems, that's the problem they were running into. Their half-court offense was running into that length of the Magic. We saw something I don't know if we'll ever see again, and that is one player block Giannis three times in this game tonight with Jonathan Isaac.
Again, watching that live and seeing almost at that moment that Jonathan Isaac wanted it more, and then Giannis coming back again the rest of the evening was something that made me really happy. You know, some players deter, even though, you know, this is Giannis. Again, he's never been really contested as such at the rim, and that hard, like you were saying, three times back-to-back, and he fell over on that second or third attempt trying to get that ball back up. And you got to give it to the Magic, you know. This team is a feisty team. They're not looking to go away. This isn't Magic of old. And in that third quarter or fourth quarter, Justin, where it was literally, we score, they get a foul, go to the line. We score, they get a foul. It felt like 5 minutes of us scoring and then just waiting around for them to pick up a foul. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is not the same old Magic team. This will be a playoff team, whether that's play-in tournament or playoffs. They'll be in the mix. Thanks for the call tonight, Will, as we're up
anytime against
the
go
clock.
Go Bucks, baby.
Yeah, up against the clock here. But the last thing I want to sneak in here, Brooke Lopez. Last year, Brooke Lopez had a career-high 193 blocked shots in 78 games. I don't know what's more impressive, the 193 for blocked shots or the fact that this man, 1 year removed from back surgery at that point, in a season where he only played 13 games, he played 78 games a season ago. Brooke Lopez, so far this season, leads the NBA in blocked shots. He has blocked 85 shots through 28 games this season. It is a blocks per game average of 3 blocks per game. It's about 3.5 in those games played since November 3rd, if we want to keep going back to that. But if we use that current rate here, Brooke Lopez is on pace for 249 blocked shots this season. Not only would that be a career high, it would shatter the previous career mark. Bucks in New York to take on the Knicks. First of two games. It is Saturday morning, 11:30 a.m. tip, 11 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you Saturday morning with more Bucks basketball.